There's been a big focus on how a high sugar diet increases your chances of getting diabetes and of being obese. But what about the impact that sugar has on teeth, especially on children's teeth? Dentists are becoming increasingly frustrated that they're seeing too many very young children with decay in their baby teeth. There's the need to treat this, but also a need to rethink dentistry to make it more preventative in focus. For Life Matters, Fiona Pepper is investigating this in Melbourne.
Six adult teeth up the top and six adult teeth down the bottom, and those six adult teeth won't be falling out. So we have to make sure we look after them really, really well.
Whether working at a dental hospital or a community health service, dentists have the same message.
A lot of children as young as 1.5 to 2 years old are getting dental decay, whether it's from bottle feeding at night time or just diet at home from juices on a regular basis. So I see a lot of that in the kindergartens quite early.
So is this kind of the biggest thing you're dealing with on a daily basis?
Yes, most definitely.
So my name is Rooney, I'm an oral health therapist here. So mainly working with families, high-risk families, and looking at prevention for the community.
And what are you seeing as the biggest problem?
Sugar. And nothing like a three-year-old coming in and they've only just had the brand new set of teeth, a whole 20, and they have decay in more than half of it already. Yeah, and I think it's sad to see that, and they're at the age where they don't understand a lot and, you know, why are you doing this to me? I think it's quite upsetting to see. And it's not until then that families realise the damaging effects of sugar. Yeah.
Now you're getting emotional when you speak about this. Is it quite a full-on thing to treat young children?
Yes, definitely. Because especially when it's the first appointment, they look at you, why are you doing this to me? It's mean. And so we're trying to make it a fun experience and try not to do anything that's too out of the ordinary for them.
The serious cases that require general anaesthetic get referred to the Royal Dental Hospital of Melbourne. Dr. Sophie Beaumont is one of the dentists performing these operations.
So it's not uncommon to be taking up to 12 or 14 teeth out from very little children, even from the ages of 3 and 4. And the most unfortunate part of this is those baby teeth, ideally we like them to stay in the mouth until the permanent teeth come through or the adult teeth come through, because they help retain the space for those adult teeth. So taking out the baby teeth, although people might have a misconception that they're just baby teeth, there are long-term consequences, and that can be very difficult to deal with as well.
Have you seen a kind of sharp rise in recent years of doing these sorts of treatments?
Well, unfortunately, working at the dental hospital, we tend to be at the pointy end, so we always have a lot of patients or a lot of little children coming here who have either had failed treatment elsewhere or they've been referred here because this is kind of the end point for a lot of the children in the state. So there's certainly a long waiting list for that kind of treatment, and I think that's a real shame because a lot of this is preventable.
And what do you attribute these sorts of procedures to?
We tend to historically harp on about the oral hygiene and those issues. That's certainly important. I don't underestimate that, but I think dietary factors are hugely important, and our diet these days, there's a lot more hidden sugars in foods and drinks that we consume, and a lot of those foods are marketed very cleverly as being healthy, and they have huge amounts of sugar in them. Sometimes they're really sticky, and what children are drinking as well. So I can't stress enough the need just to stick to tap water or plain milk, just avoid any of those kind of sugary and sweet things, especially between meal times.
Are there socioeconomic factors that play into this?
Like any health matters, socioeconomic factors have a huge role to play, and we see the greatest amount of disease in the most disadvantaged groups in our population.
What's it like treating a, 3-4-year-old and putting them under and extracting, a good portion of their teeth?
So I think the most distressing thing is often by the time they reach us, There's been many sleepless nights at home. They've lost their appetite. They're not performing at school. And there's a whole host of other social issues that are occurring before they get to us. So often there's been pain. They could have been to a doctor and been on antibiotics. So it can be very traumatic, not just for the child, but for their whole family. So by the time they reach us, usually everyone's in a state of mild panic. Often the general anaesthetic needs to be done fairly quickly as an emergency, because we can't leave children in pain, and especially if there's any swelling or any threat to their general health. So these are priority patients always. It can be very distressing. So trying to have the conversation with the family about how they've arrived in this situation is difficult as well, because like I was saying before, it's largely a preventable problem. And that's where we need to be focusing much more of our attention on preventing this from occurring in the first place and trying to reduce the numbers of children that are needing general anaesthetics.
And prevention is exactly the goal of North Richmond Community Health, which Centre Manager Dr. Rachel Martin believes goes against our traditional ideas of dentistry.
The practice of dentistry as such has always really historically been a surgical approach. So it's been a come in, have a checkup. If you have a hole, we will fill it. If you don't have a hole, go away. Come back in 6 months' time. When you go into a doctor to have a consultation, you spend a lot of time talking to the doctor. People don't expect that when they come into the dentist. They sit down, they expect to have something done. We're trying to change that.
Oral health educators spend time in kindergartens, primary schools, and even with expecting mothers, because Dr. Martin insists that early intervention is key.
We used to say 2 years old was the time when they should have their first checkup. Now we're saying two is too late. Children should be coming by the age of one to have their first introductory visit and check. But it actually goes earlier than that, to focusing on pregnant women. So expecting mothers who are very keen to do the right thing for their child when they're born, etc., and getting them to understand what causes decay and the elements of good oral health fundamentals, which are shared with good health full stop.
The other approach is preventative treatment.
And you'll see Tan has a child in who there are no holes, but we have a way of classifying a difference between a hole that's established, that's broken through into the tooth that needs to be filled, and a hole that is the very early stages. So we have a classification system. And you'll see with that child has a class one early grade one lesion, and we've been working on just regularly seeing the child, putting some extra strong fluoride to help remineralize that lesion, and working with the parent to make sure that they're aware and watching for any changes, regular returning to check it, so that that's how we can avoid it, something clinically as well as, you know, melding that with the preventive approach.
In one of the dental surgeries at North Richmond, Tan Lee is performing this preventative procedure.
Do you want to say your name and your age?
Yes. My name is Tazanim and I'm 9 years old.
Have you been to the dentist a few times now?
Yes.
So all we're doing right now is we're protecting Tazanim's adult molars at the back to prevent any potential decay in the future.
So there were signs of decay or...?
There are decay on baby teeth, but we are sealing the adult teeth to prevent them from getting decayed. And it's a preventive measure. Doesn't last forever, so every time she comes back in for a checkup, we make sure it's still there. And if any bits have flaked off, we just protect it again.
Mm-hmm. And aside from the discomfort of being in the chair, Tan says children who have extractions have ongoing problems.
They can't speak well, they can't communicate properly, they get embarrassed at school because they look different to some of their other friends. Things don't look quite right in their mouth when they look at someone else. So yes, a lot of social things that can happen at school, at kinder, and around families as well, if they see that their teeth don't look the same as their brothers or their friends or their someone else.
But Dr. Martin is confident that their approach is reducing the number of children requiring general anaesthetic procedures.
We actually very, very rarely refer a child for a general anaesthetic now because of the way we've set things up with our relationships with maternal and child health, with our relationships with the schools and the kindergartens. Yeah, we're finding that we are really getting on top of the issue here.
And it seems Tasmin has picked up a few things from visiting the dentist too.
I need to brush my teeth so my teeth don't fall out.
Great. And what about sugar?
Don't eat too much sugar. And that's for all you kids outside.
There you go, one littlie who's got the message about how to look after her smile. And Fiona Pepper with that story about the growing prevalence of decay in young children's teeth and the new prevention programs. If you'd like to get involved in a similar preventative program, you should contact your nearest community health centre to get some more information. And if you'd like to read more about it, there's an article we've written. Head to the Life Matters website.